ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode explores, expands, and evolves the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity, joy, and exponential growth. And now, here is your host, Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Hello, everyone. Jim Case here with the Science of Transformation and Adventures in Truth Podcast. I am super excited to tell you about my new book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love. This book is a deep dive into the evolution of fear in our human experience. I truly believe this book will change your life. When you read it and integrate it and apply this new understanding of what fear is and how it works, how it's used, you see that fear truly is a choice, whether we're using it consciously or unconsciously. And that awareness will create quantum change in your life, and the freedom that you can experience is extraordinary. Head over to www.adventuresintruth.com and sign up for pre-sales and getting information about the distribution of the book. I'm excited to share it with you, as well as some excerpts going into the future. And thank you for being part of the Science of Transformation family and Adventures in Truth. Have an amazing day. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Adventures in Truth livecast. My name is Jim Case, and I am the host of the show, and I welcome you today for another great adventure. And today we're going to dive into health. Very excited about our special guest host today. Eric Levinson is a health coach, amazing human being. I have another label for him, but I haven't asked him if it's okay to use it, so I'm not going to use it right now. We'll talk about that. But I've invited Eric on the show because he has such a profound knowledge of health in the body, and that the body's natural mechanism is about health. So that really aligns well with what we do here in Adventures in Truth, and really looking to unravel some of the illusions and some of the beliefs and ideas about how we stay healthy and what those challenges might be, and understanding that health is a choice. And as you guys know on the show, I tend to like to define things. I want to understand what the context is that we have for these things that we have in our lives. And so when you look at the definition for health, it's a pretty straightforward definition. It's a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. And what struck me about that definition was a couple of things. One, that our Western culture seems to hold health in a place of not being ill as opposed to being well. But more importantly was the idea of health being a state. And as you know, as we talk about how we engage our consciousness and how we expand who we are, having a state that you can invoke, that you can step into, I think is a powerful thing. And with that, I'd like to bring Eric into the show and introduce you all to Eric if you haven't met him before. Hello, Eric.
Hey, Jim.
Great to see you. Welcome to the show.
And, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. Absolutely. We're going to have a great conversation today while I get my stuff together here. So starting with overcoming the challenge of staying healthy and that health is a choice. Do you want to share a little bit about you and why I'm so excited that you're here?
Great. Sure.
So go ahead. Yeah, please. Tell us a little bit about you and your passion for health and how it's brought you to where you are.
Yeah, well, you know, you and I met not too long ago as a part of that journey.
It was a long time ago, actually. It's been like 6 years.
Yeah. Yeah, lots happened since then, I guess.
Seriously.
Yeah, you know, and it's all been part of my path of understanding like what it is to be in that state of health, where, you know, for most of my life going to doctors, you know, where I did not feel well. You know, I was told, well, you are absent of disease or injury or things that need, you know, treatment directly. So you are healthy. And it was obviously not the case. I did not feel that I was in a state of health, just because there was nothing diagnosable or treatable. And I found that, you know, through my journey and talking to people like you and all of my clients and friends and family, and, you know, even my wife, and then having a small child, was that, you know, my understanding became one of which is, yeah, health is a choice. And that unfortunately the default choices that we make, most of us make, tend to be inhibitory to that, tend to be contradictory to that. And in order to actually find ourselves in that state, we need to make choices that tend to be outside of the norm. Jay Krishnamurti, I think, really summed it up well to say that it is no measure of health to be well adjusted to a sick society. And I've really kind of used that as a guiding axiom. Excellent. You know, because when we compare ourselves to the general population, you know, half of us are going to be considered healthier than the other half, but I don't think that is putting us into a paradigm of actual health comparatively. I mean,
yeah,
you know, even now when we see the headlines and they say, oh, healthy person, you know, succumbed to COVID. And, you know, when you read the article, they're like, well, you know, they were on immune suppressant drugs and antidepressant and, you know, and, you know, they were 40 pounds overweight. And,
but otherwise, they were healthy.
Otherwise, they were healthy. You know, they were functioning. They had a job. Yeah. You know, they had a family. They're healthy. And so, you know, I think that a lot of our discussion definitely as a society needs to center around what actually is health.
Beautiful.
And well, why.
Let's start there.
Yeah.
I don't want to get too far because we're going to do a quick meditation to kind of get everybody present. And then we're going to go whole hog.
Yeah, let's get ourselves into the right state.
That's right. Let's get into the right state. All right, guys. So we're going to take we're just going to take a second here, and I'm going to ask you to, wherever you are, like we do each week, is to just get present in your body. So we're going to start. Let yourself close your eyes if you can, or bring yourself into a place of focus. So if you need to pick something on the wall, or you know, you have a sound or an ambient sound in the room you can focus on. Anything that can bring your awareness completely present to your body right now. And I'm going to ask you to just breathe and be aware and take your awareness inside your body. And just become aware of what it feels like inside. How does it feel? What do you notice? Be the observer of this experience and just let your awareness run through your body and just be aware of what's there. Does it feel good? Does it feel comfortable? Does it speak in a language that you can hear? Be aware of the feelings, be aware of the experience of being completely in this moment inside your body. And now, as we talk about in the pyramid of wellness, we're going to start with breath. We're going to manage the breath. So bring your awareness to your breath while you're focused in the body. Just observe it. Again, no judgment, no thought, just pay attention to the breath. Do you feel your breath expand? How much do you allow it to expand? Do you feel your breath breathing in 360 degrees, or do you feel your breath just lifting a little bit at the chest? Be aware of it. And now we're going to invoke the breath. We're going to use a breathing pattern. We're going to inhale to a count of four, fully inhaling, expanding to the fullest capacity that you can on four. At the top, we're going to rest and relax the body full, and then we're going to release from the mouth, and we're going to release to a count of six. And the reason we do that is that we want to purge all of the old air, because remember, air is about life. Air is prana, air is chi, air is the energy that animates who we are. Breath is the thing that brings life into this being. So we want to use the breath to stimulate that aliveness in the body and that awareness in the body. So as we release that air from the mouth in a count of six, we purge deep down into the lung. We release all that old stale energy and air. And then at the bottom, I want you again to rest and relax into empty, relax into the void for just a second. Just feel your body relax when it's empty, and then fully engage as you inhale. And we're going to walk through this a few times together, and then you'll carry on. So we're going to begin with that focus internally as we inhale, filling completely two, three, four, filling full and holding and releasing, and then out of the mouth. Release two, three, four, five, six, relax into the void, and now open and expand. Inhaling, two, three, four, filling the fullness and relaxing the body and the shoulders at the top. And now release it out of the mouth. One, two, pushing that air. Three, four, five, go all the way. Six, and now relax the body in the void. Good. And expanding and opening, filling, pulling all that new energy and air. Three, four, we're at the top. We relax, rest into fullness, and then release it. One, two, three, four, five, six. Again at the bottom, rest. Feel the body relax and inhale. Two, three, four, holding at the top, and then release. Two, pushing that air out. Four, five, six, and allow yourself to continue that pattern. Be in the rhythm. Take a deep breath. Take it inside. Carry on the count as you reach the top. Again, remembering to relax, and then release, pushing all that old energy and air, purging the lungs as you come to a place of empty. And when you reach that, relax there and feel the peace of that space, and then engage and go again. Continue that rhythm. Feel the breath. And as you're continuing to breathe in that rhythm, I want you to take in these words. Just let them move around in your consciousness. I am the evolution of God realized as matter. I inform and guide that expression as the pure expression of God. I show up as God. I connect as God. I align as God. I am creation realized. And from that, I create, expand, and engage. I am. Good. And just finish the last cycle of breath. Stay connected to your breath. And allow your awareness to come outside just a bit so that you can pay attention to what's happening in the now. Gently open your eyes when you're ready. No hurry. And we are going to dive in. Welcome back. Are you guys ready for a conversation about health? Yes. Health, yes. So we were talking a little bit about the beginning. One of the problems, one of the challenges we have in clarifying and defining health, one is understanding that it's a state. It is a conscious decision to engage health as opposed to it being a passive thing. The body is going to have the thing. I mean, the whole systems that run all by themselves without our attention. But there's a lot that we enter into that system that we have to be conscious of. So in clarifying health, the thing that I loved again was about this idea of it being a state. And then furthermore, clarifying that health is way more than not being sick. Right. That just because you're not sick doesn't mean you're healthy. And so let's start to dissect that a little. Let's talk about the fine tuning of the idea of defining health before we get into the things that we can do. Let's talk about how do we as people, as an individual, because health is like everything, such an individual experience. We come in with a system that's loaded, a DNA that's fully loaded with all of this information that is in complete alignment with all of who we are. And so being able to invoke health, being able to bring health to life is significant to not only feeling aliveness, but expanding consciousness to all the things that we believe we're here to do. So from that place, Mr. Eric, what do you think so far?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely a completely subjective experience of what is health. Whereas we apply objective measures to it in our current society, in our culture. So, you know, you might go to the doctor and complain about certain symptoms. And the doctor might look at your blood work and say, well, subjectively you're suffering, but objectively you're fine. And that's a big problem. And, you know, that is also another symptom that we have created a culture of dependency.
Mm-hmm.
And we can only seek healing or salvation from some authority. And something that struck me very early on in my career as a rogue health professional was, you know, David Hawkins' work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, his kind of evolution of consciousness that he talks about, and, you know, moving out of fear and dependency, you have to move through anger and acceptance until eventually you get to a place of self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And I see it over and over again, is that people who are maybe struggling with this in their own path, and they come up against that, they have a choice to either move into self-awareness, which can eventually open the door to self-love,
mm-hmm.
or to stay where they are. And, oh, do you have a...
No, I was just going to say. So are you actually saying to me, because this is something I absolutely believe, is that health is greatly affected by the choices we make, the thoughts we think, the feelings we feel, the energies that we engage with, whether it be food, whether it be people, whether it be work environment, whether it be drugs and alcohol, whether it be sex, all of those things are contributing to what ends up being a out of balance health condition. Am I understanding that correctly?
Absolutely. And whether we embrace what's happening or we resist it, will inevitably, you know, decide our end result.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for example, you know, I work with a very specific paradigm nutritionally and biochemically. You know, that if you have a basic understanding of human physiology,
mm-hmm.
this is sort of undeniable axioms of how the body works and how we can allow it to work better when it has been dysfunctional. But I see it over and over again, is that as if those things are working, but the mental spiritual state mm-hmm. is not willing to accept a higher state of health and wellness, then inevitably some way that resistance will manifest physically.
So finding how do we, you know, the question, how do we tap into our health is really, I think, when you're saying health, you actually have to almost say, how do I tap into self? Ultimately, because if you don't have that relationship, then you certainly can't have a relationship with your body, because you're not seeing it for the miracle that it is.
Right.
You're not experiencing it for the, because probably your experience may be one of a malfunctioning body, or a body that has not supported you in ways that you feel you could be supported.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an interesting dynamic, because it is in that place. I think that the crux of where we go in health seems to manifest. So I want to get into the details of the constructs that you have understood about health and what you understand about it. I was going to have that a little bit later, because that's going to be more about the things that people can do, and people, and the ways that people can step into their own health in understanding some of the things that you have come to understand about the basics.
Right.
And you're welcome to filter them in wherever. I just, I did create a segment so that we could really flesh that out. And if now is the time for that, great. Otherwise we'll carry on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we can definitely keep that together. You know, cause I get asked a lot, people will say, oh, well, you know, do you need blood work? And I say, well, no, because blood work doesn't tell me how you're feeling.
Right. I will tell you from my personal experience, and I want to share this because I think it speaks to Eric, but it also speaks to the way in which we invoke health. And I had a session with Eric recently, and some of the things that I found remarkable in the process was, first, there was no agenda but health. So there was never a point in the conversation where I felt I had to defend my health or defend my version of it. I just had to share my version of it. And so Eric was awesome at asking the right questions, because I was coming into it from a moderately fearful place, not like, oh my God, something's wrong. Just, is there something that I need to tend to that I'm not attending to? But in working with you and answering the questions and hearing the questions, I realized I was barking up the wrong tree coming into the conversation, because there were like three key questions that I couldn't even answer. That seemed like basic issues, like, what do you want to feel? How do you want to feel? You know, it was like, I hadn't thought about that. And then the evolution of that conversation, which was so satisfying, was we came to a place of mutual understanding about where I see myself, where you see what we're talking about, and came to a place of common ground that was all about the upliftment of the health ideal, and not, you're doing this wrong, you're doing this wrong, you're doing this wrong, you should change this, fix this, do this. None of that was there. And there may be parts of that down the line, but I think that the thing that I loved was that it was an encouragement of, let me pull yourself out. Let me pull yourself into the picture here so that you and yourself can start to share in this experience, instead of the mind that came to this wanting to understand it better, instead of wanting to experience my body differently. And that to me is how we really have to define health going forward, and how we have to clarify health going forward, because we are in a country, we are in a culture that does not support health, plain and simple, doesn't support wellness. It talks about it, it gives nice words about it, and it provides a lot of bullshit about it, but it does not necessarily provide a lot of good information. Because, as Eric specified earlier, you can't universalize health in the sense that everybody's everything is the same. So if you're all having the same experience, then you're all healthy. So if we benchmark you here and you're at this percentile, then you're healthy.
Right.
And that's in actually completely the opposite of what we want to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, just touching back on the idea of blood work is that, you know, if we have to seek outside of ourselves out of fear to find somebody who can then look inside of us for us to, you know, eschew that responsibility of self-awareness, And then we can just go around blaming the, you know, the expert for not solving our problems for us.
When in reality, we didn't tell them probably 75% of the story that ended us up there, because we're not conscious of the 75% of the story that got us there.
Absolutely.
Which is actually kind of mind blowing.
Yeah. And so when I have that first conversation with people, you know, I immediately want to shift the conversation away from it being all my responsibility to solve all of your problems. I look for somebody who's willing to take some responsibility. They may still be fearful about their current state. And I may have very likely solutions for the direct physical condition. However, if the person is not willing to address the spiritual and the emotional and, you know, the lifestyle issues, then we're not going to get very far, and we're going to continue a cycle of dependency of symptoms and treatments and symptoms and treatments, rather than creating a non-linear progression towards greater and greater self-awareness, which ultimately brings greater health. So if we get away from this paradigm where if I can just complain about my problems and have somebody else solve them, I can just throw money at them. And I don't have to change my lifestyle. I don't have to put any work or effort into it. I can just take a pill. Mm-hmm. Or I could just do a cleanse, you know, once a year to undo all the damage of my lifestyle the rest of the year. Then I don't have to take responsibility for it. And if that ever doesn't work, I will, you know, say, well, yeah, that doesn't work. And now I'll, you know, keep looking for somebody else or some other solution so that I can continue the same lifestyle, getting the same results, right? The definition of insanity is kind of where we're at as a culture, where we will then just drug or medicate the adverse effects of how we're living, so we can keep living that way.
Yeah, I want to interject something here that I think is important to understand in this context. Neither of us in any way, shape, or form are saying that any choices you make are bad or wrong to the viewers, to the listeners. None of this is about bashing people that are sick. None of this is about saying you're sick and it's your fault. It's not, being responsible and being at fault are very different places to be in the world. Being responsible is about understanding your ability to respond to what's happening in your world in real time, in the moment that it's occurring. I'm very conscious of language, and I know you're very conscious of language, and sometimes the language can be misconstrued because it sounds like it's what you're doing isn't working, what you're doing isn't right. Let's deal with reality. If you're not feeling well, something in your health system is not well. Something in your wellness is not working. If you have physical pain, if you have an ailment, if you have something is out of balance in your system. That's just the reality of it. Now, how you choose to approach that is really on you, not on the practitioner. You are living your life. You are with you 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know the bullshit you tell yourself. You know the bullshit you tell everybody else. You know the stories you tell people. You know the stories you tell everybody else. It's not about judging any of that. It's about stopping, just like in the meditation earlier, get recognition of where you are, get present where you are, and then allowing people like Eric to draw it out of you. The amazing thing is that I realized in the conversation, I wasn't looking for a lifestyle change. I'm not unhappy and I'm not sick in my lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that until the conversation, because my mind had come up with a whole bunch of interesting things. And I'm not saying there aren't things I can't do and things that I can't shift and ways that I can't be more healthy and stepping more powerfully into it. But just like all of us, we have the story, we have the history. I know in the conversation, I think there was probably four or five times that I would remember some key piece of information that I thought I had told him everything. And then we got back toward the end of the conversation. I'm like, oh no, wait, I completely forgot to put this piece in, which changes the color from dark blue to azure blue, you know? So it's like, it's not the same picture. So telling yourself the truth is the first piece, recognizing, boy, I don't feel good. I also know that I'm not happy. I also don't feel like I'm satisfied, and I don't know what to do about it. That's an honest place to be. And that's a place where a powerful practitioner can gently take you through how that's going to unfold and how it can unfold. And are you going to be uncomfortable? Yes, but you already are. So what difference does it make? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, yeah. It's how we respond to that discomfort.
Yes.
Like you said. And so, you know, is our response getting the result that we want? Because if it's not, then maybe there's a different response. And if we don't know how to come up with a different response, then it's totally okay to seek guidance in a way that where you start by saying, okay, this is my body, this is my life, I'm in control, I'm seeking guidance, but I still have responsibility and autonomy and agency in this process. Right? Because if I tell you, well, the only way for you to really get better is to jump off a bridge, you have to filter that through a lens to say, well, is that really in my best interest? Or if I give you some advice and you try it and you go, hey, Eric, you know what? I've tried that. I don't really like how it's making me feel. Then you don't have to do it. Right. But now we live in a world where, you know, if you go to a health professional who tells you to do something for your health out of fear for your life, and even if it makes you feel awful, you cannot choose not to do that. And I've worked with plenty of people who were literally dismissed from their doctors because they wanted to, you know, avoid taking medications with nasty side effects and try alternatives. And the doctors would say, well, you just signed your death warrant. So I can't have you in my practice. It's dangerous to me and my license. So goodbye.
That's such a powerful image, because what I know about, especially working with you and what you offer and what I've seen you offer is this, it's a space to understand yourself, but it's also guided in that when you're going a route of being connected to self, you're having this interchange, this connection, and you're sharing information and knowledge and attempting to understand what's happening. And when there's more of us doing that, then we begin, there's a support system within the construct, meaning we've been there. We've gone through, Eric has gone through this process. So he's in detail had an experience that can help you and can help you navigate through the challenging parts, because the challenging parts are just the confluence of all the mental and emotional crap that caused the physical stuff to begin with. Then the resistance is nothing more than, I don't know if I'm bigger than this knot that I've created. And that's all the fear really is initially. Is I feel it, but I don't know that I have the power. I don't know that I have the ability. I don't know that I have the strength to manage my way out of this, because I fought with the medical system for so long, because I've fought with everybody and everything. And what I will say to everyone listening is stop fighting. Immediately stop fighting, because it's contributing to your unwellness.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because acceptance is a huge step in the process. And you have to pass through fear and anger and then acceptance. And it's just the natural progression. Mm-hmm. It's healthy. It's natural. It's normal. And I went through it. And I expect that most people who do overcome these challenges within their lives are going to go through that process as well. There's no shortcuts.
Right. And that's the challenge for most. And we're going to come back to this conversation. We're going to talk a little bit about how you have to get healthy before you can stay healthy. And then we're going to really dive into health as a choice and open it up to let Eric really talk about some of the core concepts that we really should be considering as we're looking at how do we step into health? So bear with me here just a second as we go to commercial break, and I'll see you back here in just a minute. And we're back. Welcome back. You like all my little bells and whistles? I have so much fun with my little bells and whistles.
Yeah, very impressive.
I'm just learning all these cool things, so it's quite fun. All right, so we are back, and we said we're going to talk a little bit about how you have to get to the health before you can stay in the health. What are your thoughts about how do we get there from here? What's the are there two or three things that will help us focus in a way to begin to get toward health? As opposed, and then getting to the stay portion is a whole other conversation, I think.
Well, you know, I think you started to sum it up pretty nicely, is that, you know, we have to get away from this idea of the good and bad. Mm-hmm. You know, and like, I think your book really, you know, touches on, just from the title, is that, you know, fear is kind of the entrance point.
Yeah.
However, if we stay stuck in that fear, then, you know, we never make progress. But if we can look at these emotions, right, like fear and anger, not as bad, but as healthy guides on this journey, then we can see them as pointing us away from things that we don't want in our lives and towards the things that we do. And so, you know, when people have that first call with me, there's typically fear, whether it's, you know, fear about their health or fear that it's, you know, all sales, right? Like all of these things that go on in our mind about, you know, all of these different processes about relationships with professionals and, you know, and how easy it is for us to be preyed upon when we are not feeling well, when we are not all there and we're operating at our fullest. And so that initial conversation that I have with people, in order for somebody to get well, right, before they can stay well, they also have to get the idea that they are in control, that they do have choice in the meaning that they ascribe to the experience that they're having.
So are you saying then, just again, my little weird point of clarification, because what I'm hearing is that we need to stop giving authority to people who have knowledge about, but not knowledge about you.
Yeah.
So they have knowledge about how the body may operate, and none of that is necessarily faulty. But if you have a body and then you have you, and if these aren't together, if they're not a part of the package, then you're not addressing your health. You're addressing something else.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't know what that something else is, but it's still a form of illness or being on the illness, being on an illness, what do you call those? Scale instead of a wellness scale.
Right. It's not linear. Life is not linear. And so we can't, you know, ascribe linear solutions to health and wellness. It has to be a process, and it has to start with empowering a person to even be able to imagine what their life would look like, their definition of health and wellness, because it's not mine. Mine is completely different. And so, you know, I was just going to point out Dr. Sarno, you know, who was head of special surgery at NYU for decades, And he did experiments where, you know, for example, they would get patients who were told that they needed a knee surgery. Mm-hmm. And half of them, they gave the knee surgery, and the other half, they just gave them an incision and pain meds and sent them home. So they thought they had the knee surgery, and they didn't. They got better results. The patients that didn't actually have the surgery reported better results than those that actually had the surgery.
Wow.
Yeah. And so he wrote a book, The Mind-Body Connection, you know, and that has to drive our understanding of the human condition. So, for example, if we turn on the TV and all we see is that everyone is fearful and healthy people are dying from, you know, whatever it is, right? We don't have to be specific, but it will put it in your mind.
Yes.
That this is likely going to happen to me as well. And so it's the placebo, nocebo effect. We can convince ourselves of a lot of things. And, you know, something else that they talk about in like childhood psychology is that, you know, children will often see that when they are sick or injured, that they get preferential treatment from parents. So they learn that being sick is a way to get love and affection and ice cream and choose what movie we get to watch as a family. And it becomes a leverage point to be unwell.
Yes. Well said. And I'm thinking of the viewers and the listeners, there are many different avenues of not wellness. There are many different avenues of being outside of health. Some have been carrying that burden for most of their lives. Some of it come into it rather new. Some of it have had chronic conditions for a very long time. And when the thing to understand about the consciousness aspect of health is, it's not about blame, it's about responsibility. In understanding, you may have had your pain for 25 years, and the pain that you've carried for 25 years has seriously clouded your consciousness for much of that time. That's just a function of what's happening in your energy, because this is going on all the time, right? Yep. This is what you have to look through all the time. So what's important to me here is understanding that there is no judgment and should not be judgment about you, for you, or about how it was created. That will come naturally when you allow yourself, when you release resistance, when you give permission to yourself to step into a state of health. The things that are in the way of health then have to become conscious. They have to, in order for us to understand what's in the way of being healthy. So we have to be willing to see ourselves and the things that show up for us in that process. But understand from the get-go is you're not wrong because you're sick. You have an illness, you have something going on. Let's see about how we flesh out the parts of you that can make this better. And to that, I'm going to transition us now into the whole concept of health is a choice. It's completely about, you have the ability to choose it. It's just a question of how will you step into it. And, but again, because I've heard this so many times, and I'm sure you hear it too, where, you know, the victim blaming and that kind of thing, which is to me utter nonsense, because there's no blame about anything.
Right.
You made a beautiful example of a child who learns in a non-emotional household how to stimulate emotion.
Yeah.
By getting sick, because that stimulates caring. Otherwise, there's no caring. There's the challenge. But understand that that's not about blame on the parents either.
No.
We could go deep into this, and I don't want to divert from focusing on the health aspects, because just an understanding that it's all part of the picture of who you are, and those that you're showing yourself your own cards. You know, you're looking at your own card deck and you're going, oh, wow, I really do have four suits here. And they really are oh, wait, this suit over here needs a little cleaning up. Let's focus on this suit. And understand that it's just more about evolving who you are. So,
right. Sorry. Yeah. Most of us never even take the time to look at our own hand. We just show it to everyone else, you know, hoping that somebody else can show
us. That's how this is.
Yeah. 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 So, you know, health is a choice, right? You know, and I think that as a society, we are evolving, right? We don't treat drug and alcohol addiction as a crime as much anymore. We're starting to see it as a disease and not one that is often, you know, a conscious decision, but one that is a product of all the different circumstances of a person's life.
Yeah.
You know, like the experiments that they did with rats where, you know, they put them in a barren cage by themselves and then the rats would literally drink the cocaine water until they died. But then when they put them into a utopia with lots of other rats to play with and things to stimulate their imagination, and it was beautiful and they had choices, they all rarely ever chose to get high. And so, it is a choice. And it also is not, whatever state that we're in is not our fault. But it is our responsibility if we are not satisfied to take responsibility and seek a different reality.
Yes. Love that. Love that. And with that, we're going to transition into the next segment here. And this is where, Eric, get on your box, buddy. Here we go. And I'm teasing because he doesn't really have a box. But I wanted to take a segment because I want you all to hear the stuff that Eric talks about, because it's so foundational and so powerful and so, for lack of a better word, because it may not be easy, but it's easy in the sense that here is a path that could radically help you shift from a state of unhealthy to a state of health. And so I want you to be able to talk about that. So let's go there.
Thank you. So yeah, and I want to do my best to keep this as easily understandable as possible. So this is a really always another opportunity to help to refine that message to make it in a way that is digestible. And so I like to start off just by saying is that, you know, not the near distant past, not too long ago, it didn't appear to be as difficult as it is today to be healthy. Mm-hmm. It may have been more likely to succumb to some more infectious disease. However, you know, the fact that we have really kind of mastered infectious diseases to some extent in the modern world just goes to show that, you know, we are really lacking in other aspects of health. And, you know, things really changed, post-World War II. Mm-hmm. We became a chemical obsessed society. We started putting chemicals on everything. We started seeing nutrition as chemicals, and everything changed. And so, you know, what used to be simple, because our bodies are so resilient, they are so over-engineered to be adaptable, that it really takes a lot of effort to wear us down to such an extent that we have such widespread dis-ease and unhealth, lack of health in the world today. And part of what I've come to understand on my own journey is that, well, you know, we do have obviously very different stories, very different lives, and some, you know, variability in how that expresses in our physical bodies and our health. But underlying that at the cellular level, we are all very similar, all very identical. And this goes down the line through all other, you know, living organisms. We have a very specific biochemical foundation to how life can exist. And a major component of that, quite simply, is just the ability to take electrons from one thing and put it on another thing. Mm. So we just like literally you and I sitting here, just like our computers are doing, we're just moving electrons. And we're doing that in a way that allows us to leverage that reaction to create energy and to create other molecules. And so what I've come to discover is that, you know, in the last 60, 70 years, is that we've done things to our environment that overwhelm our body's ability to handle the what would have been a normal amount, a tolerable amount of toxicity from our environment. And the same system that would address that also has to address certain toxicity that is innate to our bodies. So just because, just by being alive and breathing and having physiological processes, we produce certain toxins. They're unavoidable. However, they are very similar to other toxins, like those that we might breathe from car exhaust. And so we can kind of lump these together as aldehydes. And so what's interesting is that, you know, combustion engines, they produce aldehydes. And then, you know, 20, 30 years ago, we started putting ethanol into gasoline, which actually increased the output of aldehydes by 40%.
Wow.
Yeah. And then if you have natural gas stove in your home, that's producing aldehydes, right? Anytime we have any sort of fossil fuel combustion. Okay. And we all, so we all understand is that, you know, we don't want to breathe diesel fumes. Well, one of the major nasty things in there is these aldehydes. So what are some other sources of aldehydes? Well, if you've ever had a hangover, that's an aldehyde. It's how our body breaks down alcohol. So we take an alcohol molecule, we take a hydrogen off of it with a dehydrogenase enzyme, and then that alcohol becomes an aldehyde. And then we have to do that again, and that aldehyde will become acetate. And then that can be neutralized and then we can eliminate it. But you can see, and everybody's, most people are familiar with, is that there's a period of time where that the aldehydes have built up and you feel like crap.
And you're saying that is the actual experience of hangover.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's the actual, that's that whole body shut down, depending on how deeply you poisoned your liver and your system in that particular episode. But that feeling is the result of the aldehydes.
Exactly. Okay. And so you think of all those symptoms, right? Headache, digestion problems, right? Body aches, headache, you know, vision sensitivity to light, nausea, all that kind of stuff that, you know, tends to plague a lot of people on a persistent basis. So one aldehyde is not better than another aldehyde. And we have many types of aldehydes. A lot of people are familiar with formaldehyde, right? Like we've, you know, we had to dissect the frog in high school. Okay. Well, that's also a natural byproduct of food processing and naturally contained in certain foods. Okay. And then we also have a class of what most people think of as a vitamin. And so I'm not going to argue whether or not these are necessary, but I am going to argue that it is well established that too much of these things are very well known to be harmful. And these are the class of retinoids commonly referred to as vitamin A. And this includes beta carotene, like in carrots and sweet potatoes. So the same process happens here. We take beta carotene, we have to break that into two retinaldehyde molecules, okay? And then it can go either way, where we can either try to get rid of it, it gets turned into an acid, retinoic acid, which is known as the biologically active form of vitamin A. Or it goes the other way. It gets turned into alcohol, retinol, which is what we ingest from animal products because they've already broken it down for us. And then it can also be turned into a fat-soluble molecule and stored as fat. And if we don't have enough of that fat, our body will change our metabolism to turn anything we consume into more fat and make us fatter. And we have an obesity epidemic in the United States right now. And in the United States, we've also been fortifying foods with vitamin A for many decades. and giving it to people in multivitamins. And more recently, and I succumbed to this as well, is, you know, I went down the fad of, you know, lots of juicing and being a raw vegan. And I made myself a lot worse because I was eliminating the things that my body needs to get rid of these aldehydes while saturating myself with even more of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's intense. We have about two minutes left for you. So just so that you can focus your message there. I want to just throw into the mix here the other thing that I think seems to be important is, and I saw this fairly recently about the whole COVID experience, that the people that tend to get the sickest are people that live in congested areas, people that live in cities and places that are already so heavily polluted and filled with metals and toxins, and that their base level of health is already at like 30%.
Right.
Because not because they may not be taking vitamins or they may jog every day or they may do whatever they do. The state of the system is I'm doing things that it's like I'm putting Band-Aids on. Okay, I'm supposed to run because it makes me better and it gets my chest running and I'm supposed to do this and I'm supposed to eat this way. Not an organic choice, but a choice driven on what we're told we're supposed to do.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's a great example, right? Is that air pollution, aldehydes, create more susceptibility. And recently a paper was published saying that, you know, glutathione deficiency was a major sign that somebody would be more vulnerable to COVID. And we know is that when you are aldehyde toxic and you are undergoing a process called lipid peroxidation, you are going to deplete your glutathione. And, you know, we can connect all the dots there. And I have videos about that on my YouTube channel and on my Facebook. And I also, you know, I'm happy to explain that to people, anybody who wants to schedule a call and, you know, understand this better. But glutathione is a great example of overengineering in human health. Mm. And even despite that overengineering, we have managed to widespread deplete this protective measure in our bodies. And so that's a major focus. It was actually well before COVID ever happened, and way before that paper was ever published, it was something that I had already focused on as pivotal to getting a person back into health, helping them get on top of their symptoms so that they could focus on creating something sustainable long-term that would be their picture of health.
Yeah. So good. This I want to say, you know, in my experience, Eric knows a lot and has a lot of information and a lot of knowledge about. But the wonderful thing is that this context is a little challenging because we have a shorter period of time to try to convey these concepts. So please don't get bogged down in the big words. One of the things that Eric is so great about is being able to help you understand the arc between the big word and the reality of your health. The desire is to give you as much knowledge as you're willing to take, but you don't need to have you don't need to understand the depth of that, although it helps. You don't have to know how to spell the word. You don't have to know how to recite the word. You know, it's not that type of deal here. This is still about you, but having the science there to support it so that you understand your body's wired to be well. We've just made choices that don't support that. But beyond that, we've also been influenced out of health. So it's a multi-level Ponzi scheme where we're gonna bring you into this world healthy and vibrant. And then slowly we're gonna just start to poison you and start to diminish you and not allow you to find health in the way that you might naturally go. And what we're here to say today is that path is open and ready for business. And we want you to explore that path because it's time. It's time for us all to take that responsibility for stepping into the state of health so that we can make decisions about where our world is going, so that we can make choices about where our personal world is evolving in a way that feels satisfying and fulfilling and ultimately puts us in a state of thriving. So
Beautiful.
To Eric, I want to say thank you. This has been a wonderful conversation, and I hope we get to do more so we can flesh this out even more for people. EricLevinson.com. You can do a free intro session with Eric so you can get to experience him and the powerful, wonderful work that he's doing. Understand that we're all here about wellness in the end, about how do we achieve health, releasing fear, understanding it's a choice, understanding that your health is a choice, understanding it's really all a choice and how you want to focus your energy and bring health back into your life. I thank you all for being here. Please check us out, www.adventuresintruth.com. There you'll find information about my book. You'll also find information about working with me as well and more about the show. And ericlevinson.com, you can connect with Eric and find out all kinds of great things about how you can get healthy. So thank you all for being here. Please like us, please subscribe, please share, please tell all your friends. We love being here and we love sharing all this great information with you, and have an amazing day, everybody. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Jim.
My pleasure. I have to find my exit thing now. There it is.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth podcast. Thank you for joining us. We'd love to connect with you. Please like us on Facebook and subscribe on YouTube. To learn more about Jim's book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love, or to book a session with Jim, you can email us at adventuresintruth@gmail.com, or you can join us on the web at www.adventuresintruth.com. Tune in next time for another great Adventures in Truth podcast.